Radio 105.7 FM, 570 AM. I'm Abby Bonnell. This update is sponsored by Cyprus Credit Union. The Salt Lake International Airport hitting another record breaker this afternoon at 103 degrees. The previous record was set in 1990 at 101. The southwest and south central sections of the state sweltering in 110 plus degrees. Lake Powell and Zion National Park hitting 115. Air conditioners cranking.
A single 100 degree day isn't a particular concern, but when we start to get several days in a row that have highs in the triple digits and nighttime lows that don't drop below 70, that doesn't allow our equipment and lines to cool down as much as we'd like, and that's when we can start seeing problems.
Jeff Hymus with Rocky Mountain Power says close your blinds, cook on the grill, and use electricity during off-peak times, such as early morning and evening. Unified Police hoping public tips will lead to the capture of a couple accused of burglary and credit card fraud. Police say the man walked into a garage of a Riverton home while the woman was mowing the lawn and stole items.
While inside the garage, broke the car window, the homeowner's car, which was parked inside the garage, and stole her wallet, which contained her credit card.
Unified Police Lieutenant Justin Hoyle says the couple have used those credit cards at several businesses. They were seen leaving in an older model red Impreza Subaru. The man has a brown mohawk and a cut on his arm. And a 41-year-old Sandy man now charged with murdering his wife's grandmother. Police say 85-year-old Arla Caroline Christiansen was beaten to death with a golf club. The suspect was reportedly suffering from a psychotic episode. If convicted, Kevin Cullard could face up to life in prison. News, traffic and weather, you'll find it anytime at KNRS.com.
Hear about it, talk about it.
This fire was very radical.
Now the ball is in the House's court.
You do the right thing because it's the right thing.
You guys are awesome.
With Rod Arquette on Talk Radio 105.7 FM, 570 AM.
Boy, I tell you what, the fingers are crossed on the part of a lot of people. As hot and dry as it is here in the state of Utah and across the West, we can only hope that as we enter the July 4th Independence Day celebrations here in the state of Utah and around the West, that we are able to keep these wildfires to a minimum as much as possible. These elite firefighters who go out into the wilds and the wilderness out there to battle firefighters, maybe one of the most dangerous jobs we have in this country today, as evidenced by the loss of 19 firefighters down there in Arizona. And anybody who goes out there and fights these things, and they can turn in a minute. They're very, very unpredictable, depending on the intensity of the fire, the ground conditions, the terrain in which these guys are operating, men and women, I should say. The wind, there's so many factors involved, and we're going to go to Arizona here in just a minute and get a little bit more information on what happened to this this tragedy down there near Prescott or Yarnell, Arizona, in which 19 firefighters were killed yesterday in a fire down there. Unbelievable. How are you, everybody? Welcome to the Rod Arquette Show. A busy, busy Monday, the first day of July, as we get you ready for Man in the Moon. A lot to get to today. We'll talk more about that. As a matter of fact, Pat and Stu from the Glenn Beck Show will join us a little bit later on today. We'll get the inside scoop, so to speak, on Glenn Beck. The governor will join us, just wrapping up a meeting with Western governors up in Park City over the weekend. We'll talk about energy, the economy, and the environment. That's coming your way a little bit later on, and a lot of other things to get to today. Now, I want to make mention, of course, Friday, as you were aware, we gave away what we thought were our last pair of ultimate super passes to see Glenn Beck and Man in the Moon. Well, we have found yet another pair. Here's what you have to do. You go to KNRS.com, and you'll see how you can register to win another pair. But you have to do so either today or tomorrow, because we will announce a winner late tomorrow afternoon during my show, so we can get them to you before the events get underway on July 4th. So go to KNRS.com. We have another pair of Ultimate Super Pass tickets that we're giving away, but you need to go register at KNRS.com. The information is up there on our homepage, and then we'll have a drawing late tomorrow during the show tomorrow afternoon and take care of that for you as well. Couple other things. A really big shout out today to the people up in Logan. The people with the National MS Society had a chance to work with them over the weekend at their huge bike MS ride that they have with Harman's and Harman's Best Damn Bike Ride. Nearly 3,000 bikers went through that heat, and it was hot on Saturday up in Logan, and they raised $1.5 million in the fight against MS. And just great, great people up there to Becky and Julianne and Annette from the MS Society, and certainly to Bob and Randy Harmon, who are a comedy team, if I've ever seen one, up on stage the other night. We just had a lot of fun. And to all you bikers and you cyclists up there who chipped in and really, really helped out, and the volunteers, everything went smoothly. It was a wonderful event, and they raised $1.5 million. They hope to raise $1.6 by the end of July in their fight against MS. So a big shout-out to them as well. Then last night, had a chance to attend the Cadesville Fruit Heights Patriotic Devotional that they have every year prior to all the July 4th events. Tim Ballard spoke last night, gave a wonderful, wonderful talk. And there were a couple of moving moments, I think, during that ceremony last night. We'll get into that a little bit later on in the show. Now, let's get to the tragedy down there in Arizona. An elite team of 19 hotshot firefighters killed trying to save a town from raging Arizona, the highest death toll among fire crews since 9/11. Well, joining us on our newsmaker line is Lou Romano. He is a reporter with 24/7 News Service that you hear on iHeartRadio. And Lou has the latest. Lou, the thing I want to know is, do we know exactly what happened yesterday to these 19 firefighters?
Yeah, we do. And it was actually the question all of us, you know, all the media members, and even, of course, the victims' families were trying to find out. And that answer came at a morning news conference. And that was what exactly happened. And the answer is, this was just the quote-unquote perfect storm. This wasn't a breakdown in communication. This was not, one of those situations where the equipment didn't work. This was just a flat-out perfect mix of wrong place, wrong time, heat, the wind, and the terrain. And fire experts that we've spoken to, not just here in Arizona, but nationwide, say they've never seen anything like this before.
When they describe it as a perfect storm, what are some of the elements that they're saying went into all of this, Lou?
Well, first it was, of course, you had a raging fire with 50-foot flames. Okay, then you had a storm come in out of nowhere right when this elite group of firefighters was starting to make a fire line. So right when they get there, all of a sudden the storm comes out of nowhere with these wicked winds. So now that fire path is changing directions. And the next thing these firefighters knew, those flames were right on top of them. And that's why they went to their last resort, which are those tin foil type, aluminum foil type sleeping bags that they jump into, and they go face down on the ground with them into like a little hole. And the idea with that is, once you do that and you dive to the ground, you are capturing as much fresh oxygen as possible. Because as that fire comes up on you, obviously you can imagine how hot it is. If that heat gets into your sleeping bag or into your shelter, it'll flat out burn your lungs. And that's likely what happened here, because they found half of the firefighters inside their little shelter sleeping bag. The other half never even had a chance to get theirs out.
Boy, talk about how fast would those flames have been moving to catch these guys off guard? I mean, these are pros. These are the top guys out there. This thing must have been moving extremely quickly.
Yeah, it wasn't when they got there. And then, like I was saying, this perfect storm, so to speak, comes up out of nowhere with these crazy winds, a little bit of moisture in the air because it was drizzling a little bit at the time. When you mix all those elements together plus the terrain, remember, these guys have been walking 5 or 10 miles carrying 50, 60 pounds worth of equipment, you know, and no one directed them to say, you know, I think your best option here is to just get down and pray, because there was no way they could outrun the flames.
What kind of terrain were they in? Was it pretty hilly country, Lou?
Well, it was a mix. They were kind of on a ridge, and it was a mix of flat land with some trees. You know, and according to the fire experts, all of this played into their deaths. Remember, this is a region now that hasn't seen rain in 10 years. So you can imagine how dry that terrain was. Here come the winds, giant flames. You're in trouble.
Talk to me about this was an elite group. I guess they're from an organization called the Granite Mountain Hotshots. Talk to me a little bit about this group and the experience and the pride they take in being able to go into right into the, you know, the teeth of, or the mouth, or whatever you want to call it, of monster fires like this, and help people out.
Yeah, this is the elite of the elite when it comes to fighting wildfires. In fact, if you're a firefighter and you're on duty and you're fighting a wildfire and this group shows up, you step back and say, what do you need? And that's what veteran firefighters do. to this particular group. And, yeah, that was their name. They were stationed or headquartered out of a town called Prescott. On the map, it looks like it's pronounced Prescott, but it's Prescott. And they were summoned to nearby Yarnell, which is where the fire is burning. They got there, and these are all men ages late 20s to early 40s in top physical condition who practice this every single day. Like, nobody is better at these guys. In fact, this was the first elite group of wildfire firefighters assembled in the nation, and they were headquartered right there in Prescott. So it tells you the importance of wildfires and fighting wildfires in the state of Arizona.
And I understand this tragedy has basically all wiped out about half of the Prescott, Arizona Fire Department. Is that right, Lou?
Yeah, all but, there were a total of 20 firefighters from Prescott that were there. 19 of them were from the elite, actually 20 of them were from the elite group. One of them did survive, but he was not in the region with the other 19. He was in a different area, and that lone survivor is being treated with 50% of burns across his body.
How is the community reacting to this?
They're just devastated. You know, half of their town is gone. You know, you lost, 19 guys. They don't even know what to make of it. In fact, even the firefighters here in Phoenix, those firefighters, that's a brotherhood. You know, even though you've got, millions of them everywhere, that's a tight fraternity. Even the Phoenix firefighters had some kind of connection or knew, something about or knew the guys that died. So this has been absolutely devastating, not just because the guys died, but how they died in this freak manner.
Cause of the fire, do they say it's lightning caused, weather related?
Yeah, it was definitely lightning. Friday night, a lightning strike. And Friday into Saturday, it was just another typical Arizona wildfire. In fact, there are four of them burning now, which is very common this time of the year, June, July, and August, in Arizona. There was a lightning strike, and then, like I was saying before, with this nasty storm system, just a perfect mix of all the elements and the terrain, next thing you knew, this fire was out of control.
Boy, what a story. Lou Romano joining us on our Newsmaker line. Thank you, Lou. He is with our news partner, iHeartRadio's 24/7, talking about the Arizona fires. Coming up next, we'll talk more about Man in the Moon. That's next, right here on Talk Radio, 105.7 FM, 570 AM.
This is the Rod Arquette Show.
And this hour's sponsor of the Rod Arquette Show is SimpleToLose.com. How many of you are out there determined to lose weight? You've tried just about everything. Dieting, exercise, you lose a few, you put them right back on. Well, I've had that problem is universal, including myself, and I dealt with it last year when I decided to check out SimpleToLose.com. They have a structured plan to teach you the habits of good health, good eating, in which you lose weight and you keep it off. And that's exactly what I've been able to do. I dropped 35 pounds last year, and it's still off as of today because I've changed the way I eat. And you can do the same thing. They have a healthy, delicious meals. They're structured to help you lose weight and to keep the weight off. Now, the first step, take ownership and get started. Log on to simple2lose.com. That's simple2lose.com. You'll then be contacted by a free health coach. No sign-up fees, and then they'll begin working with you. Now, you should consult your doctor before you begin, and you lose anywhere from 2 to 5 pounds while you're on the program. Forget the discouragement with past diets where you may have failed. It's different with SimpleToLose.com. Find out today, SimpleToLose.com, for details.
Big City firefighters have their hands full today. We'll have those details coming up in 10 minutes on 105.7 FM, 570 AM.
Welcome back to the Rod Arquette Show. Talk Radio, 105.7 FM, 570 AM, 888-570-8010. The number to call, 888-570-8010. You can text us at 59570 or email us at rod@knrs.com. And as we mentioned just a few moments ago, we have found another pair of tickets, Ultimate Super Pass tickets, to see Glenn Beck and Man in the Moon. And here's how we're giving them away. All you do is have to go to KNRS.com, Man in the Moon, register, and we'll announce a winner tomorrow. It is that easy. And these tickets will get you into the Man in the Moon event. Of course, the Free the People event with Freedom Works on Friday, out of the USANA Amphitheater, and a number of the events over at the Grand America and Little America Hotel. So go on and register right now. We'll announce the winner tomorrow, but you need to register today at KNRS.com. Now, a great, great lineup of speakers coming to this event over the next couple of days. We've talked to a lot of them. We have another great speaker on the show right now. now. He's on our newsmaker line. He is Charles Edelman. Charles is president and CEO of Edelman Enterprises. Charles, how are you? And welcome to the Rod Arquette Show.
I'm great. Thanks for having me.
Charles, talk to me about what Edelman Enterprises is all about.
Well, we're kind of a little different type of company. We're a hybrid. We've taken my two passions, which is media and technology, and plugged them together into a company which not only creates immersive events, but we also create technologies that will hopefully bring people together over time.
As you look down the future, I mean, how exciting is this? I mean, I'm taking a look at social networking, the media, everything that, I mean, the power, I think, is becoming more and more in the hands of the consumer, is it not?
Oh, I couldn't agree more. And everything we do is to shift media and all the power of media back to people. You know, and in our eyes, we want each consumer to be the stewards of their own information. And as we've seen lately with all this craziness happening with NSA and everything else, we're becoming more and more, I don't want to call it introverted, but we are becoming more involved with the ownership of our data, as we should be.
As you look down the road, Charles, what do you see in the future by the way of social media or even, you know, television viewing, radio listening? How is it going to change in your opinion?
Well, if I have anything to do with it, you know, we see it as a more immersive reality. You know, back in the 90s, everybody was pitching towards what's called VR or virtual reality. We're getting into a whole new generation of what we refer to as immersive reality, to where all the content you see, all the objects you see, whether it's a Coca-Cola product or a toothbrush, all the way down to healthcare products, to life insurance, everything will become more integrated into the media we watch. And that could be news media. It could be immersive theater. It could be watching live events. Any of these things will have a threaded information database behind it. You know, it's the best way to describe it. But I believe that the future will become more tactile. It'll become more, we want to reach out and grab things, much like in Minority Report, as Tom Cruise is kind of moving things around on that futuristic computer. We're there. We have that technology. It's just, what are the systems that will thread all of these unrelated technologies and, more importantly, social communities together?
What freaked me out about that show, Minority Report, the Tom Cruise movie they just brought up, I remember there was a scene where I think he's walking through a transit station or a mall or something, and all the ads are talking directly to him, and I'm going, that's freaky.
Yeah, that was actually the concept in there was Spielberg had the idea of using ocular snapshots, where it actually grabs the retina scan of the eye, and it does it so quickly that it bursts it and it starts feeding the media back. Now, with that's almost like a parable of what we should not be doing in the future of media. I think it's almost going to be the opposite of that, to where as we walk out in public, we, as the stewards of our own media, should have the choice of what media is being pushed to us, but most importantly, what media is being drawn out of us, or what data is being extracted from us. So,
wow, Charles, how will this change an advertiser's approach to marketing their product? I mean, usually you go for huge numbers. Now you can customize it to the individual. How is that going to change things?
It's going to completely revolutionize not only how advertisers advertise specifically to an individual, but more importantly, why. You know, it's kind of like throughout the 90s, and more importantly, throughout the first 10 years of, you know, the 2000s, everybody's pushing advertising to email addresses and wanting to know everything they can about you. In the future, it's not going to be important what your name is, what your age demographic is, what your email address is. The important thing is a snapshot, because we're going to start grabbing more organic information from us, and it's not going to matter who you are, just kind of what you need, and that information is going to be threaded to you. So it's kind of going to be this interesting bubble, and it's in my opinion, and it's going to come right back to where advertisers don't care who you are as an individual. They want to advertise to you in order to convert a product, but at the end of the day, it's going to get to the point where it's not going to matter. You're just going to kind of have a passive snapshot of the things you like and dislike and everything else, and that information that you're going to take as much or as little as you want.
Well, I could talk about this stuff for hours. I always find this stuff fascinating. Now, you will be speaking at the Man in the Moon events. What's the message there?
Well, there's actually a threaded message throughout this series of independent speakers, and it's called independence. And it's the whole concept of independence, whether it's personal or in business. And my speech specifically, I'm going to be talking about independence through media and technology.
Wow. Well, Charles, we look forward to it. Thank you for a few minutes of your time today. Good luck to you this weekend here in Salt Lake.
Thank you, guys. And just a quick throw out, please, if you have any people who want Twitter, it's hashtag M1 Charity. Hashtag M1 Charity for anybody that wants to help support the event and the charity.
All right, Charles, thank you. On our Newsmaker line, Charles Edelman. He'll be speaking at the Man in the Moon events coming up in Salt Lake starting on Thursday. More coming up on the Rod Arquette Show. Talk Radio 105.7 FM, 570 AM.
No, I don't have faith in the current administration.
They keep spending too much on all of the wrong things.
With all the policies that they're enacting and how they refuse to do anything big with the economy.
21st century breakdown. How once was lost but never was found.
All right, here about to talk about it. 4:36 on this very hot Monday. 100 degrees right now at our Talk Radio studios. 103, the official temperature out at the airport. A couple of things. If you're still interested in picking up a pair of Ultimate Super Pass tickets to Man in the Moon with Glenn Beck, all you do is have to go to knrsrightnow.com, knrs.com, and register to win. We have one more pair that we're going to give away, but you must register online at knrs.com, and you can register as often as you'd like between now and when we give the tickets away sometime tomorrow afternoon during the Rod Arquette Show. So make sure you go online, register right now at knrs.com. The information link to everything is there, and you could possibly win those tickets. We'll have that drawing coming up tomorrow afternoon. And a reminder, we've got a four-pack of Stadium of Fire tickets. We'll get that right sooner or later. At Lavelle Edwards Stadium, this Thursday, Kelly Clarkson, Carly Rae Jepsen is there. Cirque du Soleil is there. They always put on a wonderful, very patriotic show. I've enjoyed it over the years, and we'll give you a chance to win that four-pack of tickets coming up before the top of the hour. You know, I read this article today, and nothing infuriates me more than a sore loser. And that's exactly what I saw in this article that Paul Rowley had today, in the Salt Lake Tribune about former Senator Bob Bennett. Bennett apparently spoke to a group of political cartoonists late last week in Salt Lake City. And basically he said that the Tea Party spells doom for the GOP. Matter of fact, a quote from him, he says, "We are a center-right nation," according to Rowley's article. "The further politicians move away from the center, the more alienating their party becomes." He also said the mistake of the Tea Party is the same as that made by the McGovernites. "This is a failure to recognize one single nugget of wisdom. Don't ever compromise your principles, but be willing to adjust your assumptions." Well, I saw that and I said, you know, I'm almost tired of Bob Bennett and this attitude that he has toward the Tea Party because he didn't know how to play the game when it came to the caucus convention system back in 2010. And I still consider him a sore loser. I want to get David Kirkham on, an organizer of the Utah Tea Party effort, and get his reaction to it. David, how are you? Happy 4th of July to you.
Happy 4th of July to you and your listeners. Thanks for having me on, Rod.
David, what do you think of these comments made by Senator Bennett?
Well, I think the one about, you know, don't compromise your principles, but just adjust your assumptions. I mean, what assumptions is he talking about? That borrowing $1,000 billion to buy Democrat votes and stimulus is a good idea? You know, is it assumptions that, you know, about all this TARP spending, of course, that he talked about, where he was, he said, "Hey, I'd still vote for this." Does anybody believe that after all these QEs, what are we at, QE3, QE4 right now, that we've been doing nothing but buying votes off of his Wall Street buddies? No, this isn't a good idea.
David, there are some out there who are predicting that if the Republicans continue to pay more and more attention to the Tea Party people, that it will spell doom for the Republican Party, which I totally disagree. How do you respond to that?
Absolutely. I disagree with as well, because, you know, the GOP is dying because of all of these compromises that they have been making. I'm afraid that when we talk about reaching across the aisle and we talk about compromise, that for some reasons, in people like Senator Bennett's mind, this means that we need to become more Democrat. No, that's not what we're talking about. The Tea Party is actually getting rid of the deadwood out of the GOP. And, you know, I think it's revitalizing the party and doing some very great things.
What do you think about the struggle going on within the GOP right now over, you know, between the established Republicans and those from the Tea Party who want to go back to the conservative principles of lower taxes, limited government, and individual responsibility? What happened to the establishment, in your opinion, David?
Well, what you're referring to, of course, is getting back to the Constitution, and I believe what's happened with the establishment is they have been moving away from that. They get, like I said, they've been moving more and more, reaching across the aisle, is voting with the Democrats. It's not bringing them onto our side and persuading them that, hey, maybe we shouldn't have so much government intervention in our life like this NSA disaster, the IRS disaster. I mean, they have Benghazi on and on, the scandals that are plaguing this administration. Wouldn't it be nice if we could have some senators like Senator Lee, who are, quote, so ineffectual? Wouldn't it be wonderful to have 20 more ineffectual senators like Senator Lee back in D.C. to prevent these things from happening?
Isn't it funny that Raleigh even takes a shot at Mike Lee and says he's been the most ineffective senator we've had in the Senate for a long, long time, which I totally disagree with, David.
Well, he's been ineffective for the left-wing view of the of what's been going on, left-wing's radical bulldozer of socialism that he's been pushing on top of us. Again, I wish we had 20 more senators exactly as ineffective as Mike Lee has been, according to Raleigh. That's a good thing, in my opinion.
Yeah, I'm with you on that one. David, what about this immigration bill? You shot me a little text message the other day on the bill, and you said this thing is an absolute mess. What has happened to this thing?
You know, I was very hopeful in the beginning. I think Senator Hatch had a great amendment that he put forth for help, trying to get more skilled workers in. I supported that, didn't support the bill. I was hoping that we could get more amendments to change the bill. And then all of a sudden we turn around and there's this pork that's just unreal. I think the thing that really killed it in most people's eyes that I'm speaking with was the legalization before fixing the border, and it's just completely unreasonable. You have to fix the problem before you create more and more problems. And so, like I said, everyone that I'm speaking with, they were aghast. I'm sorry, Senator Rubio, I absolutely don't agree. Many, many people don't agree with that. You know what? Let's retool this thing in the House, and let's hope that they don't pass something like the Senate passed. I applaud Mike Lee's word on that.
How much disfavor has Marco Rubio fallen into with Tea Party folks, do you think, here in Utah for his involvement in this, David?
Well, it's not just here in Utah. I think that he's going to take a very serious hit. When we talk about compromise and reaching across the aisle, I think immigration is a good thing that we can talk about with this. Let's reach across the aisle. Let's come with some compromise. We have a very difficult problem in the country that we have, both sides have created. Both sides recognize that. But reaching across the aisle and compromise does not mean all of a sudden, okay, let's legalize everybody and give them all citizenship. That's not what the people want. I'm talking left, right, center that I'm talking to. They want, okay, let's find some way where we can get together. But you know what? If you're going to break the law, you can't dump in front of other people. It's got to be fair. Let's work out something that everyone can agree with. And I'll tell you, this last bill that came out of Senator Reid, nope, it just isn't going to cut it.
Now, let me ask you, the House will take up this issue now. Do you think they'll be able to find a good bill that we could agree on and then go to the Senate and come up with some sort of compromise? Do you think we'll get something before the end of the year?
You know, we could always hope that they would come up with good legislation, but frankly, I've been a little bit disappointed that the House wasn't trying to drive this instead of leaving it all to the Senate. Of course, the Senate is controlled by Harry Reid and the Democrats. Why wasn't Representative Boehner out putting up his own bill? Why wasn't he out there, hey, we want to secure the border, hey, let's continue to verify, hey, let's do some reasonable things here that we can all agree with. And, you know, I just didn't see anything, nothing was coming out of the House. And then, you know, they're sitting there playing defense. I wish they'd have put something forward. I wish they'd have been a little bit more proactive in this. And now all we can do is sit back and you know, take the brunt of everybody complaining that we're being obstructionist. Well, this is completely unreasonable. The bill is unworkable as it is.
Yeah, sure is. David, as always, great chatting with you. Have a great week.
Thank you so much. Thank you to all your listeners.
All right. That's David Kirkham, organizer of the Tea Party efforts here in the state of Utah, responding to some comments made over the weekend by former Senator Bob Bennett, saying the Tea Party is spelling doom for the GOP. Hot news of the day. We've got Stadium of Fire tickets to give away and more information on Man on the Moon, all coming up still on the...
Tragedy strikes again at Lake Powell, the latest in 10 minutes, on 105.7 FM, 570 AM.
All right, we aren't going to let AJ play this song or guess the name of this song, but if you can guess the name of this Kelly Clarkson hit, right now. Caller number, we're going to make Jake work a little bit today. Jake, the intern, he's been taking it too easy lately. So Jake has got to answer caller number 10. Caller number 10, 888-570-8010, 888-570-8010. If you're caller number 10 and can correctly identify this Kelly Clarkson hit, you will pick yourself up a four-pack of tickets to the Stadium of Fire coming up on Thursday, LaBelle Edwards Stadium. Kelly Clarkson, Carly Rae Jepsen, Cirque du Soleil, all performing, getting underway down there at LaBelle Edwards Stadium. But we need caller number 10 right now, 888-570-8010, 888-570-8010. Let's check in with AJ from ZHT.
I know the song.
You cannot play.
Okay.
Okay.
It is, for the record, I believe her biggest hit.
Is it?
I think that was her biggest.
Really?
The longest one that spent time at number
time,
one.
Time at the charts. Huh?
She's had a couple of number ones.
She's pretty. Her and who am I thinking of? From American Idol.
Girls, Carrie Underwood.
Carrie Underwood. Yeah. Are they the two brightest stars to come out of American Idol? They are, aren't they?
Pretty much.
Yeah.
There's been some stars from that show have gone on to do other things. Jennifer Hudson, namely, who went to do stage and movies.
Taylor Hicks has a show down in Vegas.
Good for him.
Yeah, I drove him through there a couple of weeks ago. Does noticed he do that a, he's he does some kind of show in Vegas.
He's got to do a Bill Clinton impersonation while he's done. He looks just like Bill Clinton. That was a horrible Bill Clinton. I'm sorry.
He's got the hair though.
How was your weekend, dude?
You know, I was up in Logan at the Bike MS Best Damn Bike Ride up there that they raised $1.5 million
fantastic
in the fight against MS, which
fantastic.
I think is great. And it's a lot of fun and a lot of riders, and we just had a ball.
That's cool. I was in Miami at the iHeartRadio Ultimate Pool Party all weekend.
Oh, shit.
I'm making that up. But it sounded really good.
Yeah, it sounded good. Well, you're part of the jet set. So that didn't surprise me because I know you're part of the jet set.
How much do you think cigarettes are costing in New York these days?
I'm going to guess $7.50 a pack.
Okay, let's see. How many's in a carton? I haven't bought a carton of cigarettes.
Oh, a carton. Now, a carton, I would think a pack would be...
Seven bucks is probably pretty conservative. I'm trying to remember how many's in a carton, people.
Isn't it 10 packs?
10 packs.
Carton?
10
yeah.
packs.
Yeah.
So that would be low.
Really?
Yeah, way low.
$150?
$106 on sale.
Wow.
I posted a photo.
Wow.
And the Nicorette gum is not on sale right next to it, but the Special Blend 100s, Marlboro, is on sale. Marked down like $5. $106, dude.
Glad I don't smoke, man.
There's a photo bouncing around of Lady Gaga. She's wearing underwear, but that's pretty much it.
That's it.
That one's getting some hits today. And
she did her own version of the national anthem, I noticed, over the weekend,
she
too.
She did. That's causing a little bit of a ruckus, as you might expect, when you change a few words around.
Home of the free and land of the gay, right? Is that what she did? Not surprising.
I'm very happy. I don't know about you.
We're the land of the happy. We're happy people.
Land of the happy. Is that what she's... she wasn't going for that.
See? That's the problem.
Hey, these firefighters that have been fighting fires in Arizona, namely, because we've got the horrible news that many of them passed away yesterday.
Yeah, 19 of them.
These guys who work outside, I mean, I just cannot fathom. It's 102 right now, and there is this video of a guy pouring the sweat from his boots.
Oh, I did see that. I did see
that
picture.
It's a half gallon in each boot.
Yeah, I did see that picture.
Of sweat. Just nuts. Just nuts.
I wonder what the worst job is right now working outside.
Well, I would call
it roofing? Roofing and all that hot tar?
Might be, man. Those guys are tougher than nails.
Yeah.
And ladies, because I just said guys as a general term, but.
Construction work?
Oh, my gosh, yes.
I would think if anybody's doing any roofing right now, wow.
Yeah.
As hot as that job is?
Not good.
Not good.
Alec Baldwin went on a Twitter rant.
Again?
Well, this one was sort of homophobic.
Yeah.
And he has, of course, apologized and deleted his Twitter account because, you know, he's gone into hiding. This guy, Alec Baldwin, and I'm a fan, he says stuff like this on Twitter, and we're still talking about Paula Deen.
Yeah.
Who said something 27 years ago and admitted to it on the stand because she was under oath. You know, I mean...
You know, okay, a question on this one.
Mm-hmm.
Why can Barack Obama or people like Alec Baldwin, you know, evolve to different positions, but Paula Deen can't?
Well, I don't. I'm not defending that. I don't disagree.
It's ridiculous. This country anymore.
Well, I think the thing that got blown out of the biggest proportion is the fact that she. It was so long ago, dude.
Yeah. Wasn't it 15, 20 years ago? She made these comments.
It was 20 some years ago.
Yeah.
Now she was on the stand. She had to admit. I mean, you don't tell a lie when you raise your hand. So I'm on her side on this one.
Yeah.
You can actually get now. There's the thing. If you want to send used butter wrappers to the producers of her shows and the publishers of her book. I'm serious.
Really?
There is a butter thing going on. Let me see if I can.
A butter revolution?
A butter. Well,
a
it's
butter
like a
rebellion.
Butter rebellion. Butter something.
Butter,
I'm
going to
pull this up. Give me one second here.
So you send used butter wrappers to like the Food Network to show your displeasure?
Here we go. Paula Deen butter wrapper campaign. Her publisher has canceled the publication of her new cookbook, even though it's number one on Amazon.
Uh-huh.
And then the Food Network, Sears and Kmart, Walmart, Walgreens, Target, QVC, JCPenney, Home Depot, Caesars Entertainment, Smithfield Foods, and Novo Nordisk. If you send these people butter wrappers, you're basically saying, I boycott you, and I want you to bring her back, or we're not coming unless you do. So you can send a self-addressed, stamped envelope, care of butter.
Let's see.
I don't know, man. There's other companies that she's involved with, and I'm backing these companies that have stayed with
her. Good for her.
Kohl's is sticking with her. Landy's Candies is sticking with her.
Good for them.
Springer Mountain Farms,
good.
Alice Travel. They're all sticking with Paula Deen. So.
All right. AJ, have a good one.
Hey, you too, man.
Talk to you tomorrow.
See ya.
All right. Do we have a winner of our Kelly Clarkson ticket, Stadium of Fire? All right. Still to come, a chance for you to register and win Glenn Beck tickets. We'll have more on that coming up next.
105.7 FM, 570 AM. I'm Abby Bunnell. This update is sponsored by Greenstep. Crews making solid progress on several wildfires now throughout the state. The largest, the Antelope Fire in Millard County, scorching more than 5,000 acres. Firefighters hoping to have it contained by Wednesday. Fire risks, though, throughout the state remain extreme as sweltering triple-digit temperatures grip the region. Salt Lake International hitting another record breaker at 103 degrees this afternoon. Police say they're hoping to ID a man who brazenly walked into an open garage in Riverton while that homeowner was mowing the lawn. Unified Police Lieutenant Justin Hoyle says the suspect smashed a car's window and stole credit cards. A couple are being caught on surveillance using those cards in several local businesses. The male suspect stands out.
Brown hair that's in Mohawk style. He has tattoos on both his legs and probably has a fresh cut on his arm as well that was recently bandaged for an injury on that arm.
The woman has a tattoo above her right ankle. They drove away in a red four-door older model Subaru Impreza with a rear spoiler. An accident between a motorcycle versus a passing car has left that biker seriously injured on I-15. Near 4900 South, the man was unconscious at the scene. And a day out boating, a Lake Powell turned deadly for a young child.
A five-year-old boy was riding in the front of a boat when it hit a wave, causing the boy to be thrown overboard. The child was then struck by the boat's propeller. The boy was wearing a life preserver but died at the scene. The investigation into the accident is ongoing. Jake Partridge, Talk Radio 105.7 FM, 570 AM.
News, traffic, and weather. You'll find it anytime at KNRS.com. Now it is the Radar Catcher.
All right, guys, I want to know how he rates. I noticed a tweet from Robert Gerke over at the Salt Lake Tribune late this afternoon, came in during the show. The governor is going to the premiere of The Lone Ranger tonight. Oh. How does he rate?
Yeah, no, we
why don't we get tickets?
We did not get on that list.
Why don't we get on the list?
You
were telling me an interesting story about that, were you not? Union Pacific or one of the railroads cooperated with these guys to make this a movie?
Fascinating. And you know Union Pacific here, one of the biggest employers, well, not just in the state, but across the country. Well, they were asked if they would give up some rail tracks for a few days of filming near Moab.
So they could film.
They've always said, no, we are not there for the movie business. No, go away. Well, this time they looked into it and realized there was one client that used potash once a week on this rail, and they wanted the tunnel. And so they kind of organized it so they could move around the potash delivery. And yes, they did. They gave up their rail tracks. So you'll see it near Moab. And in fact, the Union Pacific guys went down to watch the filming. Hmm. Said it was fascinating.
Yeah, they gave it up for a very large amount of cash, would be my guess. A
couple of bucks. Yeah.
I'm excited to see that movie. I'm an old Lone Ranger fan, and I just want to see how Johnny Depp does. He was on...
he's amazing in everything.
He was on Letterman the other night. He was on Sunday morning with Charles Osgood. They did a little piece on him the other day, and he's an interesting cat.
He's an unbelievable actor.
But I think I would agree. Very, very good actor.
Complicated man, brilliant actor.
He's a bit odd.
You know, the governor's coming up in a few minutes on the show. Should I ask him, see if he can get us in? Maybe through the back door?
Yeah, listen, we don't even need good seats. We're not fussy.
I'll sit up in the film projector.
I'll stand in the aisle.
All right, guys. Welcome back. Hour number two of the Rod Arquette Show as we get you ready for the Independence Day, 4th of July events. A lot going on up and down the Wasatch Front this weekend, including Man in the Moon. Now, a reminder to you yet again. We have found another pair of Ultimate Super Pass tickets to Glenn Beck's Man in the Moon. Now, a lot of you over the past month have been trying to win these tickets. I had more people. You wouldn't believe the lobbying we've all been under over the past couple of days, people trying to get a hold of these tickets. Well, we found another pair of Ultimate Super Pass tickets. This will get you into Man in the Moon, the Freedom Works event, and many of the other Glenn Beck events coming up over the next several days. So what we've decided to do is put them up on our website at KNRS.com, and you'll see Man in the Moon, register to win. All you do is have to go on and register to win. It is that easy. You can register as many times as you'd like between now and sometime tomorrow afternoon when we will draw the winning name out. Somebody texted me a short time ago. Let me see if I can find that for you real fast. Let me call this up off the computer. They said, shh, Rod, quit telling everybody. You're lessening my chances to win. But we want a lot of people to have a chance. So go to KNRS.com. Again, Man on the Moon, register, and you could possibly get a pair of Super Pass tickets, Ultimate Super Pass tickets to Man on the Moon. And congratulations to Zach Blackburn of Lehigh. Zach was caller number 10, and he's going down to Stadium of Fire. Now, coming up this hour, we'll talk with the governor, as I mentioned, about the Western Governors Conference. They talked a lot about the energy. They talked about environment. And they talked about the economy. We'll talk with the governor about that. And what would you think about a restaurant that bans tipping? Would you still go if you didn't have to tip the waiters or waitresses? We'll talk about that coming up at a little bit later on in the show. But right now, like we do every afternoon at this time, it's time for...
Now, stand by. 1, 2, 3, go!
Rod Arquette's Top 5 at 5.
Engage.
And our Top 5 at 5, we do this every afternoon at this time. When you drive home, we look for 5 stories that come into the show each and every day. The staff and I go through it and come up with 5 stories out of our big old news bag of information. And we like to call it the Top 5 at 5. These are stories that will entertain, inform, and educate you all at the same time. So let's get underway with T5 at 5.
Number 5.
Well, Americans apparently are in denial about their lifestyles, and they believe they are healthier than they actually are. Insurance company Aetna has commissioned a study which looked at various things, including how we rank our health compared to other generations, to what we would and what we would do if we had an extra hour every day. Well, in the survey of people between the ages of 25 and 64, when asked why they exercise, typically young women said it was to look good in their underwear. Okay, more than 50% believe they are healthy even if they are overweight, although 67% of people asked said they needed to lose on average about 25 pounds. So apparently the survey shows that America, a country in denial, most of us believe we are healthy than we actually are.
Number 4.
And I wanna be your flight attendant.
An Indian low-cost airline is to only hire female flight attendants to save money on its fuel bill. Go Air, out of India, says that carrying only female cabin crews could save about 30 million rupees a year because they are, on average, 33 to 44 pounds lighter than their male counterparts. The company's 132 male flight attendants will not be sacked, but there will be no additions to their ranks. Go Air plans to add 80 aircraft to its 15-strong fleet by 2020. It will also cut the size of in-flight magazines and only fill its water tanks to 60% of capacity to make the planes lighter.
Number 3.
Don't worry. Be happy. Don't worry. Be happy now.
Ooh. Well, they say there's no greater happiness than having children, right? But if research is to be believed, the truth is rather less optimistic. Spending time with your nearest and dearest friends makes us far less happy than being with our friends, according to a survey. In fact, researchers found only the company of work colleagues and clients is more depressing than that of children. I don't believe this one. Researchers at the London School of Economics collated data from smartphone users who used an app to log their level of happiness. 50,000 people downloaded the app, logging 3 million responses. On average, respondents' moves improved by more than 8% when they were with friends, but this fell to 5.9% when they were with family members. By the way, what makes us the least happy? Number one, reading. I like reading. I don't mind reading. Number two, listening to a speech. Washing, dressing, and grooming. Sleeping, resting, and relaxing. And smoking. Factors that make us less happy.
Number two.
Okay, this is kind of a weird story. A man has gone to drastic measures to do away with his headphones. He's having small magnets implanted directly into his ears. Rich Lee from Nevada is a body hacker or grinder, a person who experiments with surgical implants. In his latest stunt, he embedded small magnets into a small piece of cartilage just outside the ear and built a coil to be worn around the neck. He claims that this creates a magnetic field that causes the implants to vibrate and make a sound, so he now has implanted headphones.
Number one.
Little sister, don't you? Little sister, don't you?
All right, here you go. Young men, new research, this from the Pew Research Center, says young men who were raised with sisters also are more likely to express socially conservative views on attitudes about gender, and they tend to be more Republican. Having sisters makes males more politically conservative in terms of their gender role attitudes and their partisanship. Particularly for gender role attitudes, we find that these political socialization effects persist until respondents are well into adulthood. Now, apparently, the researchers, using a sophisticated statistical technique designed to identify casual relationship, they found the impact of having sisters rises as the share of siblings who are sisters increases. At the extreme, they found that young men who grow up with sisters but no brothers in their household are 8.3 percentage points more likely to identify with the Republican Party. All right. That's our top five at five. Coming up next to the Rod Arquette Show, Governor Gary Herbert will join us. We'll talk about the environment and energy next on Talk Radio 105.7 FM, 570 AM.
Live and local,
the Rod Arquette Show.
And this hour's sponsor of the Rod Arquette Show is Daily Bread. To quote Benjamin Franklin, he said, "You know, by failing to prepare, you are preparing to fail. And right now, you may be thinking, what do I need to prepare for? Life's pretty good right now for a lot of you out there." Well, do not take anything for granted. We are living in an uncertain world where life can change in an instant, which is why I have Daily Bread, and I recommend you get it for you and your family as well. You've heard me talk about Daily Bread. They're the 25-year worry-free food storage system. So why not request a free sample today by going to dailybread.com or give them a call, 1-877-273-2315, and talk to one of their professional food storage consultants to find out more. You know, they have a huge variety of meals for you and your family, and they can take care of your breakfast, your lunch, your dinner, and even your snack needs in an emergency. And if you haven't tried it yet, try it. Go to dailybread.com and ask for a free sample. That's dailybread.com, or call their professional food storage consultants right now. 1-877-273-2315. 877-273-2315.
Wildfires in the state. We'll have the very latest coming up in 10 minutes on 105.7 FM, 570 AM.
Here about to talk about it, 521 on this Monday. Hope you had a great weekend, everybody. Just another reminder, those of you who did not pick up a pair of Ultimate Superpass tickets to Glenn Beck's Man in the Moon, we have one more pair that we're giving away, and here's all you have to do is go to KNRS.com and register to win. It's that easy. KNRS.com, look for the Man in the Moon page on the front page, and all you do is have to register. You have until sometime tomorrow afternoon. We will give the tickets away during my show sometime tomorrow afternoon to make sure you can get them before the events get underway on Thursday. But here it is. Just go to KNRS.com and register to win. Now, there was a New York City restaurant that announced, I think it was last week, that they are going to ban people from tipping the chef, the waiters, anyone who works in the restaurant. You cannot tip them. And they say it doesn't happen in Japan. It's a sushi bar in New York. Doesn't happen in Japan. Apparently, you don't tip people in Japan, and they aren't going to allow it here in the United States. We'll talk about that coming up in a minute. The Western governors were here in the state over the weekend for the Western Governors Association Conference. The governors, as the headline read in the Salt Lake Tribune today, governors agreed to disagree on climate, focus on future energy strategies. Our own Utah Governor Gary Herbert hosted the event, and he joins us now on our newsmaker line. Governor, thanks for being with us this afternoon. It appears, Governor, to be a debate between the economy and the environment. Do we think more about the environment before we think about the economy, or can we achieve both? Governor, what do you think? Can we find a balance between both the environment and the economy?
Well, I believe we can do both. In fact, I think history shows us with new technology, new innovation, finding better ways to do things that we haven't done in the past, we find better outcomes. For example, I think everybody believes we should be good stewards of the earth. And we're able to now extract natural resources, our energy supplies, and do it in much more environmentally sensitive ways than we did just 20, 25 years ago. Look at what we're doing with natural gas, with the new hydraulic fracturing. Again, we're getting more supply of natural gas, less invasive extraction processes, and protecting the environment and providing a lot of energy. So we can't have it all. Being a good steward of the earth and protecting the environment and accessing our natural resources are not mutually exclusive ideas.
Governor, how concerned, though, are you about what the Obama administration is doing in the area of coal? Because coal is important to this state right now. How concerned are you about that?
Well, I'm very concerned. It's like most things, the devil's in the details as far as what does the president mean when he says we're going to change the standards. I will quote former governor of West Virginia, Governor Manchin, who's now a United States senator from West Virginia and a Democrat, who said when he heard the news conference of last week, said this is not feasible. We do not have the technology to do what the president's asking us to do. If it's not feasible, then it's not reasonable. That's almost a direct quote from a Democrat United States senator and former governor of West Virginia. So, again, we ought to find common sense ways to get us the positive outcomes that the public wants. And I'm here to tell you, I know what the public wants. I think you do too, Rod, and your listeners. One, they want to have a reliable source of energy that's sustainable. When they turn this light switch on, they want the lights to go on. They want to have a fuel for their automobiles. They need a fuel for their businesses and for the demands of industry. They don't want to have brownouts. So reliable, sustainable energy. They also want it to be affordable. It needs to be an affordable part of your household budget, your corporate budget. One of the reasons we're having success in Utah is because our energy costs are lower here. It makes a difference. And so it needs to be reliable, it needs to be affordable. And last but not least is they want it cleaner. Everybody wants to have cleaner energy. We're doing things much better today than we did, you know, just a generation ago. Our air is a concern for us. Our water is a concern for us. We live in an arid climate. So all things environmental are certainly something we need to be talking about as we, in fact, develop our energy resources. The public wants cleaner energy. So reliable, affordable, and cleaner. And that's the approach we're taking in Utah, and that's the approach that I see governors coalescing around in the Western Governors Association, which now has created a 10-year energy plan for the West.
How about this, the access to this energy, though, Governor? Is there still frustration there that we aren't being allowed to get access to these energy resources that, you know, states here in the West have, but they're frustrated in the fact that the federal government won't let us get at them?
There is frustration there, and the public lands are something that we understand in the West and have the frustration that the people, you know, east of the Rockies don't really understand nor comprehend. when I was in Texas, for example, you know, our big state of Texas, and I was talking about some transportation issues with them and asked them about, you know, how do you get around as you're making your arterial highways? How do you deal with your public land issue? And they said, what public land? I said, well, how much public land have you got? They said, we've got about 3 or 4%.
Wow.
And I said, well, that's what I said. Exact same quote. Wow. How much do you think we have in Utah? And they said, well, it must be a lot or you wouldn't be asking the question. I said, it is a lot. Just guess. And they said, well, a lot. Let's see. 20%. I said, higher. 40%. Higher. 60%. Higher. And they said to me, my goodness, how do you get anything done? I says, bingo. That's exactly the problem I have in Utah that you don't have here in Texas. So that's an illustration of the lack of awareness and understanding of the challenges uniquely so we have here in the West because of public lands. Well, we work hard with the Department of Interior, with the Department of Agriculture, with the Department of Energy, and trying to find ways, because they're all tied together. Even EPA has a lot to say with what we can do. Think of the ozone problem we have out in the Uinta Basin, for example, right now. Those are all related on our ability to extract our natural resources and particularly to develop energy. So we're hopeful that the right hand knows what the left hand is doing, that there's some kind of collaborative effort, there's some kind of spirit of cooperation, and states need to take the lead on this issue, in which we are doing here in Utah. And guess what? Other states are now following our lead as far as how we enhance awareness and a recognition that there are some unique challenges here in the West because of public lands and access to our energy resources.
Yeah, on our Newsmaker line, Governor Gary Herbert talking about the Western Governors Association meetings this weekend, talking about the economy and the environment. One point the governor made to me as we talked to him earlier today was another issue that nobody ever talks about. And Utah is now starting to use wind energy and solar energy from Wyoming. The issue there is getting that power, that energy, which has been developed, onto the power grid. And we're talking about transmission lines, another issue. To be able to build those transmission lines and get them back onto the power grid that we all want to use, you have to have access to public lands. And that access right now is not being granted. Just another issue in this complicated mess over energy in the United States. If Uncle Sam would simply get out of the way, watch what the U.S. could do. More coming up on the Rod Arquette Show. Hear about it, talk about it. Talk radio, 105.7 FM, 570 AM.
Never recall having so much fun on a radio show.
Fun within prescribed limits. This is going to work.
I don't think so.
We've opened up the gates of hell.
The Rod Arquette Show.
Today, we are going to talk about...
Live and local. Listen to Rod on demand. Download the latest broadcast at KNRS.com.
The Rod Arquette Show, driving you home on this very hot Monday, 103. Another record setter out there at the airport today. Another good scorcher of a day. Temperature down in Vegas, I think right now, it's about 117. Kind of a hot one out there for you to drive home. It is expected to cool off, I think, a little bit by this week. Low 90s. That's cool. I don't mind the hot weather. Of course, I don't have to work out in it. You go from your air-conditioned house to your air-conditioned car to your air-conditioned workplace. You don't have to worry about it, right? Yeah. A lot of you guys out there who are working, hang in there, man. We're with you. All right. Just another reminder, make sure you go to KNRS.com if you're still interested in picking up a pair of Ultimate Super Pass tickets to see Glenn Beck and Man on the Moon. We found another pair, and all you do is have to go to KNRS.com and register. Very, very easy to do. You can register as many times as you would possibly like, and then we'll announce the winners during the show sometime tomorrow afternoon. So make sure, call your family, call your friends, say, hey, get me registered on there. I want to win a pair of those tickets. Go to KNRS.com to find out. All right. Let's see. Speaking of Man on the Moon, Pat and Stu will join us in the 6 o'clock hour. They're the Glenn's sidekicks on the show each and every morning that you hear right here on Talk Radio 105.7 FM, 570 AM. So we're going to give you the inside scoop of what it's like to work with Glenn coming up in the 6 o'clock hour. Now, a couple of stories. I want to get your reaction. I want to open up the phones to you on this one. Would you be willing to pay a little bit higher price in an entree if you go to a restaurant, if you knew you didn't have to tip the waiter or waitress or the chef? Would you be willing to pay a little bit more in a restaurant if you knew you didn't have to tip somebody? Because the tipping thing is always a question for me. Is it 10, 15, 20%? You know, and I had someone, we were talking about an issue similar to this several months ago, where he, this caller indicated they only tip on the price, not the end result, just the price of the meal. So they aren't tipping on the taxes. But this restaurant in New York has now banned tipping. And it's left some of the diners rather perplexed. Sushi Yasuda, making headlines for its mouth-watering sushi, an excellent service for more than a decade. But the restaurant is getting noticed now for a different reason. They've banned tipping. The diner, they say, does not have to think about how much to leave and make calculations after a contemplative and special meal, according to the co-founder. We're really sort of just saying connected to that classical approach of fine Chinese dining. In keeping with the pared-down aesthetics of the business owners, owners of the New York restaurant earlier this year decided that they would no longer ask patrons to do any complicated math at the end of the night. Instead of relying on tips, all the servers are on a salary with paid vacation and sick leave. The executive director of the Restaurant Opportunity Center in New York, a nonprofit that supports restaurant workers, said she thought the practice of banning tips and providing a salary with benefits is actually a good idea. It started a good conversation about tips and restaurant compensation, adding that inclement weather, for instance, is something that deters diners and thereby limits tips, no matter how good the service. She went on to say, "We definitely feel there shouldn't be a separate system where tip workers rely on tips to subsidize their wages. Workers," she says, "should be fully compensated." None of the staffers at the Sushi Yasuda were available for comment, and it's unclear how much they make in salary. Banning tips can also smooth the process of the management side of the restaurant, according to a spokesman for the New York chapter of the New York State Restaurant Association. One of Sushi Yasuda's biggest challenges was explaining to customers that they could no longer tip. They put a note in both the menu and receipt explaining that customers do not need to tip, but many patrons are still a little bit bewildered. Now, the whole tipping thing, to me, sometimes throws me. I mean, how much do you tip? You know, I tip them based on the service. If you've got a really good waiter or waitress, is it politically correct to call them waitresses anymore? I never know anymore. Waiter or waitress. That I'm much more willing. What? You're telling me something.
I believe they're now called servers.
Boy, am I out of touch. Servers. Are there servers and serverettes?
No.
Just a server.
Yes.
That's politically correct.
As I understand it.
Oh, really? Have you ever waited on tables?
No.
Nor have I.
No.
I'd be horrible at it.
I worked at Little Caesar's Pizza in high school. That's as close as I ever got to
You never pizza. Waited on tables?
Nope.
Yeah. So servers. All right. To tip the servers, if you knew you were paying a little bit more, just a little bit more for your meal, knowing that that money was going to the server, I'd be politically correct. You didn't have to worry about tipping anymore. Tipping's always a guessing game to me. I mean, is it to you? Did they do a good job? Did they do a bad job? Is it 10%, 15%, 20%? What is it? But if they eliminated that, and they had a sign, no longer do you need to tip our servers because we pay them a salary and they have all the benefits. Would you like that idea? I bet there are a lot of servers out there in the audience who go, hey, we'll go for that if we get a little bit more money. 888-570-8010, 888-570-8010. The debate over whether to tip or not to tip. And would it be nice that you didn't even have to worry about it anymore? 888-570-8010. You can text us at 59570 or email us at rod@canarest.com. Your calls and comments coming up next. Hear about it, talk about it on Talk Radio 105.7 FM, 570 AM.
The Rod Arquette Show.
And this hour, sponsor of the Rod Arquette Show is a brand new exciting book called The Anonymous Patriot. It's an adventure, really, of two men, vastly different backgrounds set on a collision course of ideas where only one can prevail. Now, at its heart, this story is about freedom, what it is, and why it is so important. As we celebrate our independence this weekend, it is a great way to renew your commitment to freedom and better understand the nation's hard-fought independence. I think too many of us have forgotten what makes us Americans and what it actually means to be free. Make the effort to read this entertaining and inspiring story, a must-read for your summer, thought-provoking, heartfelt, and it captures the very essence of freedom. Inspire yourself, your family, and friends with this exciting story honoring freedom. Hurry and get your copy today of The Anonymous Patriot at theanonymouspatriot.com. You can also meet the author, Stephen James, great guy, at Murray Barnes & Noble Bookstore on Friday, July 5th from noon to 6. It is The Anonymous Patriot, and meet author Stephen James at the Murray Barnes & Noble Bookstore this Friday, July 5th from noon to 6.
Latest in 10 minutes on 105.7 FM, 570 AM.
Welcome back to the Rod Arquette Show on Talk Radio 105.7 FM, 570 AM. We're getting your comments about this restaurant in New York that apparently is a high-end sushi type place. Has kind of thrown some people because they put a ban on tipping. They basically said, "Look, we pay our servers good money. They get benefits from this, and we don't want to bother you with trying to calculate what the tip should be anymore," so they banned it. Let's go to the phones and get your reaction to this idea. Would you be willing to pay a little bit more for a meal if you didn't have to worry about the tipping anymore? 888-570-8010. We go to the phones. Listening to us today in West Jordan is Sue. Hi, Sue. Welcome to the show.
Hi there. How are you doing?
I'm doing well today. Thank you. Kind of warm, but we're making it.
Yeah, it is kind of warm if you don't have air conditioning in your car.
That's for sure. That's for sure.
I think it's a very good idea what they're doing. I think it's wonderful for the servers and stuff. They will, I would hope, work harder to make their customers happier.
Yeah.
But the only drawback with this is, what if you get a server that isn't very good? How do you let them know that they're not serving well?
Yeah, that's an interesting point, because I think a lot of people judge their servers by the amount of money they give. If they've done a great job, they tend to tip them more. If they've done a horrible job, I mean, I've been to the point where I haven't tipped them at all. I've just said, I thought the service was bad, so you aren't getting a tip.
Yep, I have too. I've given them a penny.
Yeah. Oh, wow. All right, Sue, thank you. Listening in Kearns is Lori. Hi, Lori.
Hey, how are you doing, Rod?
Good, thank you. What do you think about this idea of not making people tip the servers?
Well, you know, if you live in a state like New York where servers are making $15 an hour, and, you know, then I have no problem with that. But, you know, the right-to-work state, I've been a server for over 17 years, and I have to tell you that we make $2.13 an hour.
How much?
As $2.13 an hour in this state.
Wow.
And this is the worst tipping state in the country.
Really, Lori?
No, it is. It is horrible. People in this state do not understand that the minimum tipping anywhere in the country is 18%. If your server stinks, you maybe drop a few percent off that. But most people in the state tip less than 10%, which is horrible because we have to tip our bussers and our bartenders out of our tip money because they get paid an hourly wage, but we have to tip them. So when we get tipped 10% or less, we basically are giving our money and we're not making anything.
How do you know, Lori, how do you know this is the worst tipping state in the country?
Because I have talked to servers who have come from other states that are not right-to-work states where they're making $10, $11, $12, $15 an hour. And other states, even when they're making that kind of money, are getting tipped 30% and better.
Wow.
I've had New Yorkers come to Utah and tip me 30%.
Really?
And been blown away going, like, what in the world is wrong with this state that nobody, I mean, people honestly are, generally speaking, people here seem to think that 10% is a good tip. And honestly, when you're making $2.13 an hour, no, I'm sorry, it's like an insult, especially when we're working really hard. And there are a few lousy servers out there, but there are some servers who really seriously work hard to make it good for you.
And I've had people say, oh, you did a great job, and then leave, like, $5 on a $100 ticket. I'm like, really?
Wow.
$5 ran me ragged, and you gave me $5 on a $100 ticket. I can't even pay my buses with that.
$5 on a $100 ticket. Wow, that's
I'm
cheap.
I'm not kidding.
That's cheap.
And this is serious, and I honestly think people need to be educated that in this state, servers, seriously, $2.13 an hour. We're not even making minimum wage without our tips.
All right, so, Lori, the standard to use is what you said. 18% is a good
nationwide
tip.
Yeah, that's the minimum that most people, you know, that's like a general average 18%. If they're better, you can tip more. If they're not great, you tip a little less. But honestly, that's pretty much the going rate around the country.
All right, Lori, thank you. Let's go to Eric here in Salt Lake City. Eric, what are your thoughts on this tipping issue?
Well, my thoughts are if she's getting less than 10%, she's a bad waitress, because I've been a server for over a decade. I've been in multiple restaurants, everything from Denny's all the way up to five-star restaurants in Las Vegas. I've waited tables in multiple states, and I average 25% in Utah because I actually entertain my customers and I make sure that they have a good time. So, having said that, I can weigh in a valid opinion on this no tipping back there. I think that's a horrible idea. Yeah, they may be paying me, and I just got a degree in culinary management. I'm actually a chef now. And, yeah, as a chef, if I'm doing sushi, they may be paying me $13, $14, $15 an hour. But I can go out and wait tables and make $20, $25 a night. So how do those customers let me know that I'm doing a good or a bad job if they're not tipping me?
Yeah, that's a good point. Okay. Someone else mentioned that as well, that that's a way to tell the server that they're doing a great job or a poor job by the amount of the tip you leave to them.
Well, and the people we need to look to is chefs like Charlie Trotter. So Charlie Trotter had one of the highest-rated restaurants in Chicago, okay?
Uh-huh.
He put all of his service staff on salary. He didn't get rid of tipping. He still had people tip. He found that his service went up in excellence because they didn't have to worry about a paycheck, but they were still working for tips. He found that at the end of every single year, the amount of tips that his servers earned paid more than their salaries combined, and he was able to give them a bonus at the end of the year based on how well they'd done throughout the year. The national quit rate for servers is 117%. That means as a restaurant owner, I'm going to fire every single one of my staff members plus a few more throughout the year. That's an average. Charlie Trotter's turnover rate of employees was under 25%.
Wow, that's super. That's super. All right, Eric, thank you. Let's go to April in Draper and get her thoughts on this. April, what do you think about this tipping idea?
You know, the waitress that called in earlier, when they're working on a whole different pay scale and serving you and bringing you your water and your drink and your food, I absolutely agree with the 18% of what she's saying. My pet peeve is you go to get a sandwich or an ice cream, and at the end of the restaurant area there's a tip jar everywhere. And I think we're tip-happy there, and I think that that's almost an insult to the servers that are running around bringing all their stuff out to us.
Yeah, all right, April, thank you. We appreciate your calls on this. What a response to the whole tipping issue. I ate at a restaurant up in Logan on Saturday morning. My wife and I had breakfast. Service was horrible. Took forever to get a breakfast. And the service was like, really? Our tip? Very, very small. All right, more coming up on the Rod Arquette Show. Pat and Stu from the Glenn Beck Show will join us next as we get you home. We'll also talk about illegal immigration in hour number 3. Hear about it, talk about it on the Rod Arquette Show.
PAM, I'm Abby Von L. This update is sponsored by Real Salt Lake. Serious accident tonight, northbound I-15 near 4900 South.
We do not believe the motorcyclist to be at fault, but there was a crash in front of it, and the motorcyclist hit that car, and the motorcyclist went down. Extremely critical condition, transported to the hospital. We're just waiting for an update on his condition.
Utah Highway Patrol Corporal Todd Johnson, big traffic delays in that area at this hour. Avoid the area if you can. Governor Gary Herbert says nuclear power has to be part of the mix when it comes to the long-term energy plan.
The public wants cleaner energy, so reliable, affordable, and cleaner. And that's the approach we're taking in Utah.
Herbert attending the Western Governors Conference, offering a 10-year plan that includes a number of energy sources, including wind, solar, biomass, and hydropower, while preserving the environment. It certainly was a race against rising temperatures today in Salt Lake City, as fire and hazmat crews detonated volatile chemicals leaking from drums near 400 North 60th West.
We've used forklifts to
move them. We've used a type of webbing that the firefighters would hold with the container inside to move them around.
Salt Lake City Fire spokesman Jason Acey says they were safely detonated. News, traffic and weather, you'll find it anytime at KNRS.com. Now it is the Radar Catcher.
Boy, did we stir it up asking people about tipping.
It is a bit of a sensitive issue. You know, they never used to in England. They do now. But they never used to when I was...
When did that change?
Oh, I'd say probably as people traveled more. So maybe in the last 15 years, 20 years. But when I was, you know, in early 20s, nobody tipped. I mean, you would go to a restaurant and think, well, I'm paying through the nose for it. I'm not leaving anymore.
Do either one of you have a bad tipping story?
I think we've all had terrible servers during our lives.
I remember once, I think it was at, years ago, it was Boston. I think it was at the Boston airport. My wife and I were traveling, and I forgot to tip the skycap. And I don't know why. I just forgot to tip the skycap, right? I think we were in a hurry or something.
They let you know, too, that you didn't.
You know how they let you know? Two of our bags did not come with us.
Oh, seriously?
Two of our bags did not show up at our destination.
Funny you should mention that. I remember when I was in New York, a good friend of mine from Denver, she worked in TV there, Madeline McFadden, on Inside Edition. We went out after work to the Hyatt, and there's a very nice little martini bar in there. We had, like, one drink and an appetizer. And it wasn't me who paid, actually. Madeline was the rich one, so she paid. She was in TV. I was in radio. And so, I've never forgotten it. The guy came back over and said, was there something wrong?
Really?
And I looked, and I'm like, I'm sorry? Was there something wrong? And I said, no, it was lovely. He said, oh, it was just because of the tip. Oh, I just, I wanted to slide off my seat.
Yeah. Most generous states for tipping, according, someone just shot me this note, because we had that woman call in a bit ago and said Utah is bad. Most generous states for tipping, New York, New Jersey, California, Nevada, and Texas. Okay. Least generous states. Utah's not on that list. Number one, Arkansas. Number two, West Virginia, North Carolina, Georgia, and Alabama. All down south.
I'm pretty generous when I go out.
Are you?
Yeah.
I really weigh it on the service. Service is good. I'll be a happy tipper. If it's average, no. Sorry.
I never dare complain because I always worry about what's going to be going on behind
the scene. Yeah. I don't want to see that. All right. Welcome back. Hour number three. Radar Catcho on Talk Radio, 105.7 FM, 570 AM. Glenn Beck, Man in the Moon, here this week. Jeff, Pat, Stu, and Glenn are all here this week doing their show live from our studios on Talk Radio, 105.7 FM, 570 AM. You know, and I had a chance earlier today to spend some time with Pat and Stu, an important element of the Glenn Beck Show. Very, very good friends. Pat, many of you know, worked here in the Salt Lake market for a number of years to moving on. Stu from the Northeast. Both of them have a lot of fun with Glenn each and every day. And as we began our conversation today, I asked them both, what is the most frequently asked question they get about Glenn Beck? And is it, in fact, what is he really like?
Yeah, I'd say that's pretty frequent.
There's a strange belief that he's completely different off the air than he is on the air.
But no.
No.
He's exactly
unfortunately,
the same.
We were hoping. We were rooting for something else, honestly.
We were hoping, but no, he's just as apocalyptic off the air as he is on the air. In fact, maybe even more so. So, yeah, he's the same.
What is
he's
the one same. Thing about doing the show that you guys enjoy? I mean, what makes it fun to come to work every day? Well, maybe it isn't, but what makes it fun to come to work? Maybe it's a real pain in the you-know-what.
No, fortunately, it is fun, and it's the chemistry between the three of us, actually the four of us with Jeffy, who, you know.
We torture constantly.
We just torture constantly, and he takes it so well. He takes it better than anybody I've ever known. But the camaraderie and the chemistry, I think, is really good and really enjoyable. Makes coming to work fun.
And did it just happen, that camaraderie and chemistry, Stu? Did it just happen, or did it take a while before it really started clicking, do you think?
Pat and Glenn had worked together for a really long time.
Long time, yeah.
You know, back in the day. So when I came around, I mean, they had the built-in chemistry. They weren't working together anymore. Pat came in for a couple of shows when Glenn was doing the show I was working on back in Connecticut, and it was instant. I remember telling Glenn, who had kind of given up on radio as a whole when I first started working with him. And
He didn't want to play Britney Spears anymore. He was tired of that.
Yeah. And so he was doing that still that same type of show, and he had just given up on trying to be funny. Like, I mean, and this is a show where you're trying to be funny all the time, and he had just given up. He wasn't even trying. And then Pat came in for like one or two shows, and all of a sudden Glenn was funny.
Instantly back.
Instantly funny, right back in the middle of it, and just on top of it. I was like, who are you with this guy? And so their chemistry had been long established. And, you know, Glenn and I worked for a long time together. But, you know, doing shows with Pat has always been really easy for me. And, you know, all three of us together, we really had a good vibe for a long time.
And you come from all different parts of the country. I mean, Glenn's been all over. Pat, you have connections here. Stu, you're back east. I mean, it all just kind of came together, did it not?
Yeah, I mean, I hadn't even – the furthest I'd ever traveled west was like – Florida.
That's
very west.
Stu, were you strong in geography? Because Florida is not west.
Realize that. I never even came out this way, really, for a long time until I was already doing the show with Glenn. You know, I grew up in Connecticut. I did a lot in Florida, New York. Like, I was up and down the East Coast, but really never came out this way. And, you know, so it's like, to me, I was telling Pat, looking out the windows of the studio and seeing these gigantic mountains, to me, it's like, it still blows me away. Like, I can't, it's just a different world. But
and it's so different than being in Texas where, you know, the most elevation we see is a red ant hill.
Look at that!
Well, I had someone tell me once that Lubbock is the city that you can see 5 days before you get there.
Yeah.
Because it's just pure flat all the way out there.
And
all the way
like
out there.
Almost all through Texas.
You guys, I think, you know, and I love the show, but when you guys get off on a tangent and just start laughing at silliness, I mean, that's when it's really fun, is it not?
It is.
I mean, I was listening this morning, you were talking about airplanes and boats on the Great Salt Lake. And how does that happen and where does it come from?
I think it just happens. Fortunately, that's where the chemistry comes in, and it just kind of happens spontaneously. That's the kind of stuff that we don't plan, and it's, to me, that's the most fun too, because it's so necessary to take a break away from the apocalypse that I really enjoy that part when it comes around.
Yeah, it's funny too, because a lot of that stuff comes from us busting on Glenn really hard, really hard. I mean, we know Glenn really well, so we go after the most personal and intimate details of his life on national radio.
Yeah.
And you think of Glenn, a lot of people, Glenn's a big personality. Obviously, you know, everybody knows who he is at this point. I can't think of anybody else in his position who would allow that from idiots like us.
Mm.
You know, to just come out and just wreck him hard time. He loves it, and he'll fire it right back at you. I swear that's where a lot of that stuff comes from. When we really get into those tangents, it comes from us making fun of Glenn and Glenn coming back at us. And it's just,
do you ever feel you take it too far? Do you know about how far? I mean, you've worked with him for a long time, Van.
Yeah.
Do you know about how far you can push him and get after him on
and
something?
It's pretty far. I don't know if we've ever reached the boundary.
On certain days, there's a boundary.
Frontier.
Yeah.
It depends on what kind of mood he's in.
Yeah.
Yeah. If he's in no mood, and sometimes that's the case. If he comes in and the morning meeting goes, we have a morning meeting every day at 6:30. And if that goes poorly, we know to kind of just back off and leave it alone that day. And you'll probably hear less comedy that day. Because there are times when he's just so serious and something has happened that he just knows the world is ending in about 15 minutes. And so on those days, we kind of back off.
When he does get serious, what role do you guys play? Do you just shut up?
Sometimes.
I mean, there are times.
Sometimes.
Really?
You know?
Yeah,
and
sometimes.
And it's still the Glenn Beck program. I mean, and people, that's what people come here for, and we know that. And, you know, Glenn will get on those things where he's on something he just has to get out there, and it's really important. And, I mean, Glenn, you know, he's offered insight on events that you don't get anywhere else. So you want to, there's a lot of times where the best thing for the show is to stay out of his way and let him do his thing.
Mm-hmm.
And then a lot of times, you know, we kind of turn into, you know, roles where off the air we're saying, you know, maybe you should have explained this better, or what about this point? And you kind of focus him off the air to try to make those points more effective.
And sometimes it's our job, and we got to kind of feel this out too when it's appropriate, because sometimes it's not appropriate and we do just clam up. Other times when he's off on those on a really serious tangent, it's our job to bring in some sort of relief,
some sort of
comedic relief. So we'll pipe in with something and he'll laugh for a second, and then it can go right back to serious. And that's one of the things that I love about the show is It could be serious for 15 minutes, really funny for three, and then right back into serious for the next 15 minutes.
Peaks and valleys all the time.
Yeah.
Yeah. Patton Stu from the Glenn Beck Show. We'll continue our conversation with both of them when we come back. We'll talk.
Reeling in Arizona, the latest in 10 minutes on 105.7 FM, 570 AM.
Here about to talk about it on the Rod Arquette Show and Talk Radio 105.7 FM 570 AM 621 on this Monday afternoon. Just another reminder, we have unearthed another pair of Ultimate Super Pass tickets to Glenn Beck and Man on the Moon. Here's all you have to do. Just go to KNRS.com and register to win. You can register as many times as your little heart pleases you. That's right. You can go to KNRS.com, register to win two Ultimate Super Passes to see Glenn Beck, Man on the Moon, and many of the other events surrounding all the event, all, you know, the whole extravaganza coming up starting on Wednesday. Go to KNRS.com to register. Do so before tomorrow afternoon. I think sometime probably in the 5 o'clock hour, we will announce a winner tomorrow. So make sure you have between now and then to get on and register as much as you would like to. Now, we continue our conversation that we had a chance to record earlier today with Pat and Stu from the Glenn Beck Show. And we as we continue the conversation, I asked him if they love challenging Glenn Beck on many of his points that he has to make during the show.
Oh, yeah.
On his stand on issues or where he's coming from. Have you ever said, "You're nuts on that one, man. You are way out
Stu
there."
Does all the time.
I would say that's the main thing I do.
Yeah.
Like, you know, I always, that was one of the things I really liked about doing, because initially I kind of wanted to just do my own thing. I mean, this is a long time ago now. I love working with Glenn, but like, you know, my vision of my career was I'm going to be doing my own thing. And you, after talking to Glenn, you realize how much he loves the challenge. Like, he wants you in his face pushing him all the time. And that's smart, because then when he goes on the air and a caller calls up and challenges him, he's prepared for it. He understands. He's thought through all the eventualities. So he knows, and he's more solid in his point.
We've talked about that a lot of times. That's the difference between, I think, a lot of conservatives and liberal hosts. Liberal hosts aren't pushed on their on their ideology, because everybody just lets them have it. Everybody's fine with it. The media is fine. Nobody challenges them. Conservatives are challenged all the time. They're told they're stupid, they're uninformed, they're liars. So you have to have the facts backing you, and you have to know why you believe what you believe.
Mm-hmm.
And so it always makes a conservative much stronger when he's challenged.
Have you ever brought up something that he didn't know on an issue or something, an angle or something, new to a story that he may not be aware of, and he goes, "I didn't know that.
All
wow, that changes it. That changes everything."
I think he's learned almost everything he knows from us.
Yeah, I would say.
Clearly,
if I had to estimate, it's near 100%. I'd round it to 100.
You know, 98-ish.
Yeah, there somewhere. No, it definitely happens.
It happens.
Glenn knows. You know, Glenn, first of all, is Glenn's not a super detailed guy. You might notice that on the internet.
Oh, really?
He's not like one of those guys that if you ask him a story about history, he'll know the story. But he won't know the dates, you know. He doesn't know the exact numbers at times. Like, you know, I kind of bring a lot of the sort of, statistical geek sort of nonsense to the show. And like, so I'll bring something up, from a numbers perspective that he hasn't studied, because he hasn't dug into some government document that has it in there. And Pat does the same thing. I mean, Pat all the time brings up stuff that he didn't know, angles on stories. But that's all, you know, it's all brought into the show. And a lot of times it gives him another thing to consider. You know, when a point comes up that disagrees with him, that advances his point. As long as he's willing to accept the truth, which he is, and is willing to be challenged, he's not locked into some particular thing. That's what's great about Glenn. I don't know this for a fact, because I've never worked for another big talk show host, but I would assume that that's not the case with everybody. I mean, you know, my experience with people who have worked with other talk show hosts kind of say at times they're a little bit, especially on TV. A little bit like, look, this is what we're doing. It's going this way. Get out of my way.
Tough to work with.
That's not Glenn.
That is not Glenn at all.
Yeah, in the sense with Glenn, you guys are a team, where you look at some other talk shows, and I'm thinking like Rush and Sean, they're kind of like a one-man show, but you guys really, even though Glenn's big name is on it, without you guys, I don't know if the show would be the same.
We totally agree with that. That's a great analysis. Man, you're
that
smart.
Is one of the best things you've ever said, Rod.
Now, a couple of things. You'll be at Man in the Moon, the series. You're speaking there. You have what?
The speaker series? Yeah, yeah.
Are you guys just going to kind of rip on him for an hour?
Yes.
That is the plan.
That is the plan. And then Stu has a comedy show on Friday night.
Yep.
At 10:30?
Yeah. Right? So if you're going to the Freedom Works thing, which a lot of people are,
Grand America, Little America.
There's enough time to make it over there.
And then I'm hosting and speaking at the Education Conference, which is at 3 o'clock on Saturday, 3 to 5, with Michelle Mulkin, David Barton, and several others. And in between, we're also doing the race, the Huntsman race.
I'll be there. I'll be there on Saturday. I'll be over there.
I believe we're handing out bananas or something.
An important role.
It's critical. And there's something else we're doing, too, which I can't remember.
Oh, the museum tour.
We're doing a museum tour.
All that stuff's on mercury1.org. I think you have to go to the Welcome Center to get tickets.
He was ripping on you guys today, saying you know nothing about the museum.
Oh, he's right. I will say that the only stuff that I know...
Just tell us where to be and we go.
Yeah, we mindlessly like zombies go. But he all the stuff that's in this museum, the only stuff I really know about it is from Glenn.
Yeah.
So really our stories at the museum thing will be basically telling everybody and making fun of Glenn about how he came across them and how he explained them to us. So
that's what we do.
Behind the scenes stuff.
You get off with Glenn and then you two do your own show.
Yeah.
Is it that much different? What are you doing differently on your show?
It's different in that we take it a little less seriously because we've spent 3 hours now on the apocalypse.
In other words, you're batty.
Yeah. We're a little goofier. It's a little more like Glenn's show was 7 years ago or 10 years ago, and so, but we still do serious stuff and we do a lot of that. But there's more. First of all, there's more sports because we're both really big sports.
Yeah, sports fan, and he knows nothing about sports.
Nothing about that.
Yeah, right. It's embarrassing.
and there's more maybe cultural stuff, and we get a little goofy from time to time.
Yeah, Glenn. I always tell my wife. I always tell her that she is a one-track mind. Like she'll get this, you know, this chair that she wants for the dining room, and it's all I'll hear about for days and days and days. Glenn's kind of like that because he gets
kind of.
Yeah, he really is. Like he'll get to that thing where he'll have that one topic in his mind, and he'll want to do it until he's exhausted it in his own mind. And I like a little bit of that variety mixed in, and you know we do a lot of that on the show, but we take advantage of the two extra hours to kind of just hit all that other stuff.
Our wives are a lot, and I think a lot of wives are. They get a one track mind. They want something.
Mm-hmm.
Just give it to him.
I know. That's the only way to end it. It's like if you don't fight it, though, there'll be a new one-track mind the next day. So I've learned there's a you have to put some modicum of fight up to extend the one track long enough so it doesn't drive you crazy but doesn't get you into a new one right away.
He'll learn, won't he?
Yeah,
he's learning.
We're getting there. Okay.
Guys, you're great. Thanks. All right, that's Pat and Stu from the Glenn Beck Show. We chatted with them earlier today about working with Glenn Beck. Coming up next, we're on Change Gears. We'll talk about immigration. There is a well-known Hispanic columnist out there saying the GOP is offering fear, not ideas, when it comes to immigration. We'll talk to him next. Hear about it. Talk about it. Talk Radio, 105.7 FM, 570 AM.
We've got a revolving door, if you will, at the border, then it doesn't matter what your immigration policy is. It will not be successful.
We need better tools with which to go after employers who consistently violate the nation's immigration laws.
We have definitely taught our community to not be scared and to fight for what we want and need. And what our family needs now is an immigration reform.
Talk Radio 105.7 FM 570 AM. Great to have you along for the drive as you head home on this Monday, heading into the Independence Day, 4th of July weekend. 4th of July, of course, coming up on Thursday. Man in the Moon events, a lot of parades and everything. You know, I was at an event last night and I really enjoyed this. I was up in where we live up there in Kaysville, and every year the Fruit Heights, Kaysville. Cities get together and they put on a lot of patriotic things over the next several days. And they always have a patriotic devotional that they had up at Davis High School last night. And they have a choir sing. And as they were singing last night, and they sang the songs from all the branches of service here in the military. And as they did, They asked men and women who have served in any of those branches to stand up so the audience could recognize them. And I thought it was a very touching moment last night to see these men and women who've served in the branches, the military, Air Force, Navy, Marines, Army, Coast Guard, stand up and the crowd recognize them. And I got to thinking as well, this weekend, and for most of you probably on Thursday, when you're out there on those parade routes, and they always have the vets show up, make sure you recognize them. I think it's a very, very important thing to do. And hopefully you'll be able to do that. Now, we were hoping to talk about immigration. We're having a tough time getting a hold of our guest. So we'll change topics here for a few minutes while we continue to make an effort to get a hold of him. Interesting story that is getting a lot of national attention right now. It is a gun rights group here in the state of Utah that plans to hold what they're calling the nation's first open carry run. That's right. Residents will be running with a gun. As a matter of fact, coming up in September, it's put on by the organizers of the Run for Guns event. And joining us on our newsmaker line right now is Royal Bateman. He's the organizer. Royal, thanks for being with us. Who came up with this idea, and what is this race all about?
I actually came up with this idea when I was running a 5K, and a couple military guys just smoked everybody. I was talking to them afterwards, and they're like, "Well, I usually practice. I run with the weighted vest, and sometimes I put on my AR-15 and I go running with that too." So I thought, "Hey, let's make a race out of it." And we also are concerned with how gun owners are being painted, and it's a powerful way to get gun owners excited and way for us to give back to victims of gun violence and help paint gun owners in a new light.
Now, what precautions are you taking? Because, of course, the gun control crowd out there is freaking out and going, "Oh, they can't do this. There are going to be accidents. There are going to be shootings." What kind of safety procedures are you going to take, Royal?
Oh, we are actually tougher than Utah state law. And our website, we list all our safety procedures. All people will be identified. We have a lot of police volunteers contacting us, so we're going to actually have police officers from the state of Utah inspecting everyone's firearm. If your firearm has an exposed trigger, you are not allowed to have any ammunition in your gun or in the chamber, and it will be zip-tied shut. The only way you can have a gun with ammunition in the race is if you have a holster that covers the entire trigger and the entire trigger guard, and we inspect that holster and make sure that it's secure and safe. And if that is not, if that even is a flimsy and crappy holster, then we'll zip tie shut that gun too. And then also every runner will be marked with the armband that they have checked in. They have identified that their age, they're 18 or older. And so that's some of our safety precautions in there. Do you have any more questions on that?
Well, not so much on the safety precautions. Are you surprised, since you announced this, and this was announced, I guess, last week, or word got out that you were going to do this, the national attention that you've been getting on this thing?
You know, we're a little surprised, because it's really funny, because, like, we sent out a press release to, like, every newspaper in Utah, and I guess the interns didn't find it too interesting and buried it, right?
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, ABC News, local ABC News and KSL pick it up, and all of a sudden, everybody and their dog wants to do an interview. So it's kind of taken us aback a little bit. So it's kind of funny, ironic, to go from calling mom and pop a little newspaper to get an interview to Fox News running it and being the number 5 trending article all yesterday.
Yeah, it's pretty, on Fox. Pretty interesting, Royal. Now, you have a good cause as well, that you want to raise money for this and really help people out. Where will the money go?
Okay. You know, that's interesting right now. We've had a few victims actually contact us that we will try to help them out. And we are looking also to partner with an organization, but we don't want to partner with an organization that's anti-gun, which makes it complicated. So, like, a funny story with that is I called up a group that helps victims of gun violence and was trying to explain it, and they actually yelled at me and they hung up on me. They thought it was a joke to insult them, right? So it's going to be difficult for that. We're also in talk with some groups to help out some veterans here in the state. Those are the groups really that have reached out to us, And if not, we'll form our own group to go and assist victims of gun violence.
I want to make sure, Royal, I've got this straight. So you were looking for an organization to help out. You called one organization and said, hey, we're doing this. We'd like to donate money to help victims of gun violence out. And they hung up on you?
They hung up. It was a low-level employee of that organization. But, yes, they yelled at me. They thought I was doing a joke. They called me insensitive and that... They pretty much accused me of taking an AR-15, barging in their office, and flashing at them or something like that, right?
Wow.
It was ridiculous.
Wow.
But
now,
that's what we're fighting.
Now, the weapons that people can carry with them, the guns that they can carry, are there limits to the type of gun that they can carry? Are you open to about anything?
You know, as long as it's legal with state law, they can carry it. So if the gun is legal, they can carry that gun.
All right. Now, what kind of a response have you had? You've got a lot of media attention, but have you got some runners out there willing to do this, Royal?
Yeah, we have some runners signed up. We also have a little miscommunication because we're doing a 0.5-mile armed dash also. A lot of people want to sign up, but they say, I don't know about that 5K, but they can come do the half-mile dash, and which is ridiculously short, right?
Yeah.
And we have a lot of bigger people that want to be involved with this, or they have bad knees. But, yeah, we have about 100 people signed up right now, and more people are talking to their friends, trying to get their friends to sign up with them. And a lot of people also believe that, like, this must be a hoax. So we're trying to dispel that notion. This is a hoax. It's fun, right?
But yeah, that sounds like fun. Now, if people want to sign up or just find out that it's not a hoax and get information, because the race isn't until September, do you have a website that people could go to, Royal?
Oh, yeah, go to run4guns.com, so that's run4guns.com, and you can register and sign up. You can also follow us on Twitter and Facebook. We're going to be giving away stuff, and it's going to be good. It's going to be a fun time.
Royal Bateman, the organizer of this event coming up in September down in Utah County. It sounds like a fun event. It's called Run for Guns. It could be the nation's first open carry run. It's a 5K run. And if you'd like to get more information or sign up, as Royal was indicating, just go to their website. It is run4guns.com. More coming up on the Rod Arquette Show on Talk Radio 105.7 FM, 570 AM.